Good morning. Today is Monday. It is the 13th of November. Joining us this morning. Oh, cool. Is that a Christmas tie?
Not yet. I have plenty of those, Brian, but today...
Well, who's down at the bottom there?
It's a fisherman. Yeah, oh, okay. Who snagged his own...
Oh, it's not Santa passed out.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, was it?
It's a little early for that.
Yeah.
No, it's a fisherman that snagged his own pants while trying to cast. I've had those experiences myself as a child, trying to fly fish on the river back in Wales, but we won't go into that.
Michael Davies Hughes from the County Office of Ed is with us, along with his memorial pictorial there. Oh, that's funny. You ready for your question?
I'm ready.
We had some real challenging ones last week. So we're not even going to go reference
there. Now my
there.
Blood pressure is going up.
No. We're almost through pop culture. When you come back, it'll be customs. It'll be so much easier.
So much easier for me. You.
Yes. Where did the coffee habit come from? As you've got your mug sitting there.
I do have my mug sitting here.
A cup, not a face.
Where did the coffee habit... Well, I'm going to go with the idea of caffeine, coffee containing caffeine, and perhaps there's a military association with that, a way of staying awake during long... No, not even close.
No.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to do with South American Indians either.
All right, put us all out of our misery this morning, please, Brian.
Muslims were the first to develop coffee. As early as 1524, they were using it as a replacement for the wine that they were forbidden to drink.
Uh-huh.
According to legend, an astute Arab herder noted that his goats became skittish after chewing on the berries of a certain bush. So he sampled a few himself and found them to be invigorating. The region of Abyssinia, where this took place, is named Kaffa, which gave us the name for the drink we call...
Oh, look at that.
Coffee.
Ah. Oh. So coffee has Middle Eastern origins in terms of the name itself. Huh. Very interesting.
I don't know how Juan Valdez found out about it, but by golly, he did.
And skittish, I like that term. For what coffee does, or caffeine does to you, makes you skittish.
Yes.
Rather than invigorated.
Yeah.
Anything after like 11 a.m. for me, I would say that that's true. It makes me skittish.
You know, I just have never developed an affinity for it.
No.
I think I've tried it twice.
Well, you know, the quintessential British tradition is tea, right? And so that's what I grew up with is tea, morning, noon, and night. And decaffeinated, no. That would be sacrilege.
Sacrilegious, yes.
Yes. So, but I seem to be able to sleep okay with British people, I think, maybe have some kind of a built-in, I don't know,
resistance. And the same thing with the sodas, too. I mean, look, there's a bunch of caffeine in there.
Very true.
And I don't even, have you, well, I mean, you're kind of a jock. Sorry, you're a jock. those energy drinks.
Yes. No.
Are they loaded with caffeine?
Yeah.
Okay.
A few of them are. I tell you, one of the things that I have used in the past, because I do these ultra endurance races on a bicycle, is I use military gum that contains caffeine. And so it gives like a 50 milligram dose of caffeine.
Yeah.
And if you just kind of chew on those continuously, it helps you get through the night.
So it's a release. It's not like blowing bubbles or anything.
No, it's a gentle release. Just and obviously that chewing, you know, the movement of your jaws also is kind of stimulating, kind of helps keep you awake. So yeah, and I forget the name. It's military grade gum. I forget the name of it. But
special order.
Yeah. Well, Amazon.
You know, I resorted to that last night. I can't find any of those candied fruits. But I heard a rumor that somebody found them and bought like 10 or 15. So that might have been the entire county's commitment. So I did go out of the area because it's getting, this coming weekend I got to start. Otherwise, I'm behind the eight ball. So I went. I could have gotten 500 pounds of that stuff. It's like, great. And then when there's a small little leak in the corner of the bag, who's going to pick up that 5 gallon puddle of that nasty syrup stuff.
Yeah, no.
So I bought 10 32-ounce ones. I figured that's still going to look impressive, and I can whittle that down and complete that. But holy cow. Yeah.
Buy in bulk.
Well, only if you're going to use it.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine that stuff sitting around for a year and a half. Well, maybe I wouldn't need to use concrete on a walkway. You know, just kind of lay that out.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I heard it hardens well.
Yeah. but only if you expose it to the outside world, not if you ingest it yourself.
Yes.
Then it's natural then.
You don't want to lick the pavement if you get hungry.
You know, I thought this week might start out a little bit better than last week ended, but I'm not sensing it.
No, not at all. Glad to be a part of the quick demise.
Yes, exactly. That whole downward trend thing. Oh, jeez. So what is there anything exciting? Did the schools do anything for Veterans Day? I know some took Friday off. Some didn't.
The vast majority.
That's right.
Yeah, because that's the observed holiday. And so it is, I think all schools, I mean, with the exception of private schools that have that option, but otherwise everyone was closed on Friday.
Did you, or have you heard any discussions in the classrooms or in the various schools or the school boards or the administrations reaching out, asking about, are they getting discussions about the Israeli war right now? To the point where it's becoming heated and a little bit more aggressive?
Yeah, we have not received inquiries from school districts specifically regarding that. We do have resources that are available for teachers, for administrators to use with students in regard to talking about conflicts in general, understanding world history, world current events, but not specific to this conflict. And I think that we have to trust that our teachers, especially those single subject teachers that are responsible for secondary education in regard to world history, that they are, you know, keeping on top of contemporary latest news. And of course, you know, being unbiased, right? That's even if
well,
you
in terminology,
have your own,
yes.
Yeah, and your it's... own personal thoughts about them, we all have them, is to remain, let students decide.
KINS, News and Information. After being informed, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes. Holiday season for schools are different, vastly different than what a lot of us experience going through. For those who are not familiar, this concept of having Thanksgiving week off still is something that is, well, you used the word earlier, sacrilegious. So did I.
Hmm.
You know, it's Thanksgiving Day. It's not Thanksgiving week, but things have evolved that way. Are those primarily driven by attendance records? You know, parents pulling kids out to go visit grandma and grandpa in the Midwest for the week? Is it driven by labor negotiations that the staff, rank and file, would rather have the week off rather than 2 or 3 days and work a couple extra mm-hmm. days into the year? Where do things like this, these changes in scheduling, well, and where do they come from?
Yeah, so with certain exceptions, the school year for students is 185 days. No matter how you slice it, it's 185 school days. And so when you're developing the calendar, obviously you need to you have 185 student contact days in there, and then it becomes nuanced around, consulting with teachers in certain districts. It's required. It's in the contract to determine what that calendar looks like. Usually there's two or three options that are kind of discussed, and then you come to an agreement on what that calendar looks like. Traditionally, it's around those holiday periods where you have the more extended breaks. So obviously summertime, and then for the wintertime, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, spring break. But we've kind of moved away from, especially attached to any kind of religious holidays. You know, like Easter, for example.
Yeah, I noticed what your term was there. Not President's Week.
Yeah, President's Week. Well, President's Week.
Spring Week, or spring break instead of Easter Week.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, for many school districts now, it's actually that mid-semester, a mid-trimester time, you know, between winter break and summer, rather than, because you try to have a good run of weeks between breaks, because that's better for students, right? Rather than having, okay, you're going to have 2 weeks of school and then you'll have a week off and then we'll have another 3 weeks of school and week off. You know, it makes more sense for continuity of instruction to have those breaks spread out a little bit more. And then also some of our school districts have breaks that kind of coincide with their end of semester or end of trimester. So when they're doing those final exams, those end of trimester or end of quarter, that coincides with going into a break. So there are more academic considerations, I think, with looking at when those breaks are than particularly associated with a holiday.
In the old-timer days when we were young and catching our pants with fish hooks, which is still an interesting image. However,
it's better than catching somebody else's pants with your fish hook, you know?
Well, that would imply that you had friends growing up. Or at least siblings. Now, the siblings wouldn't be too close because they would know how you were.
That's right.
Your style.
Flailing wildly with the fly line.
Oh, jeez. The concept of six on, two off, and doing a 12-month calendar.
Yes.
There are some districts that have done that.
Mm-hmm.
When their tests come through, are those test scores or whatever base reference, are they more successful academically than the traditional agrarian model, kind of sort of what we have?
All right. I'm gonna give place in my own personal opinion and narrative here. I'm not going to be popular, but I think that our school year should be longer.
Just more
student contact days. And in fact, if you look at what the state has done to incentivize that, they've added 30 more days through expanded learning that's actually required for students to be offered students. Well, summer school, yeah. But also just during holidays too. So we have many school districts that are providing expanded school year experiences for students during winter break, during spring break.
So it's not required?
It's required to be offered. It's not required for students to attend. Students must attend 185 days. We are, as LEAs, as local education authorities, as schools, we are in California supposed to provide through grade 8 that opportunity for students to come 30 extra days.
So do you anticipate 100% attendance? And then back it down, or do you anticipate 10% and walk it up?
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of what schools are grappling with right now is what is a reasonable expectation to have of the percentage of students that are going to come, because obviously staffing is a consideration, right? You don't want to overhire staff, but likewise you don't want to, or conversely, you don't want to understaff.
Well, and I would think with many households now either being single parent or both parents working, daycare enters into this equation from the outside looking in. So if the kid can learn, the kid's engaged, the kid's safe, and we don't have daycare, I'm surprised that you're not getting a groundswell of support from the parents.
Yeah. There is support for sure. I mean, there are, you know,
issues. Unless the classes are goofy. you know, what's being taught is, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it makes for a long school day for students because we have to actually now offer a school day, 9 hours of a school day for students. You can imagine those little ones. That's a long day.
That's a long recess, baby. KINF, fly fishing perhaps could be taught.
Perhaps. There's an opening there.
Maybe we could find somebody who knows how to do it. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. I would think that with all of the changes that are going on culturally, societally, that getting away from the agrarian model would be something that everybody would kind of be in favor of, and having that six on, two off. And for me, yeah, the two off is kind of tough for daycare. I get that.
Yeah.
But once your kids are a little bit older, or if you're in that position where you can go and travel a little bit, now you're not interrupting the school year, but you can go out and see all year rather than just during the 6 weeks of summer vacation without the kids getting leaned on by the teachers or missing classroom time or all the challenges. It just would seem to be a lot more of an efficient way to run the model.
Yeah, and again, from an academic standpoint, having shorter breaks more frequently does the indications that is better for kids in terms of them not having the learning loss. I mean, 10 weeks off in the summer, I mean, that's a huge amount. Unless you're going to summer school, for students who are already behind, to add 10 weeks of non-instruction.
Or for those that want to accelerate. Mm-hmm. You know, in the old... I keep saying old days. I shouldn't be. In the 60s.
Whoa, way back.
Yeah, yeah. Summer school was not just for catch-up. It was also for acceleration,
right,
and it was also for learning skills. Yeah. I don't know if I bored you or not, but that's how I learned how to type.
Yeah.
Sixth grade summer school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pinkies still aren't quite totally developed, but and just being able to do and experience some of those things that you wouldn't otherwise experience in the elementary school level or in the junior high level, and develop some of those fundamental skill sets. Unless it's a cost factor, I don't understand why it kind of dissipated.
Yeah, no, the state has certainly incentivized providing those opportunities for kids in the summertime. You know, I've got to go back to correct myself here because, you know, you mentioned coffee at the very beginning. I apparently had not enough coffee because I said that standard school year, 185 days, no matter how you slice it. It's actually 180 days.
So apparently I was wishful thinking.
I was wishful thinking. 185 days. We have in the Humboldt County Office of Ed an extra 5 days for staff development. Professional development and
so
pre-service.
Like the week before school starts.
Yeah, exactly. And some other schools have anywhere between 182 and 186 days where they have those extra days. And sometimes some of those are right before school starts for students. And some of those days are sprinkled throughout the year. So they may have a non-student contact day, but they have a required teacher duty day. So, yeah, 180 days is standard. During the recession, back in 2004-05, those years, we actually, the state allowed schools to go down to 175.
Yeah, there was a relaxation of some.
It was.
Yeah.
That was under the Schwarzenegger administration, as I recall. So, yeah, times were pretty desperate there. But now we're doing the opposite, right? Especially post-COVID, we're thinking about how we can accelerate students. And so we're adding time to the extent possible, at least. But yeah, you know, the school year is always something that the length of the school year is always something that is going to come into negotiations, right, with unions.
Well, and it's not the number of days, it's the number of hours, isn't it? I mean, isn't that kind
of
like
the
real core?
The school day, yeah, the number of required hours is part of that as well. So for those schools, which is all schools really, offering expanded learning opportunities, it is not the classroom teacher primarily that's providing that expanded learning after school. We have a whole new set of staff that come in to provide those opportunities. And that has become more robust in terms of the academic aspect of that. You know, we've got an incredible, in Humboldt County, I'm very proud of our expanded learning staff and what they're doing to support students after the regular school day. And they're becoming more and more well-trained. They're professionals. Where it used to be, perhaps it was more recreation, more opportunities for less academic focus. And that's still there. But it's really expanding, and like you said, extending learning for students, an opportunity to try new things. But we've got some real experts in that expanding learning field that are providing those opportunities.
Well, and to be able to focus in on, you know, instead of marine biology, say,
yeah,
okay, maybe it's tide pools, and for five, 6 weeks, whatever it is, you're visiting various tide pools and doing things, and it's kind of like mini college. It's kind of how I always thought, oh, this is what college must be like. Have a single topic and be able to dive into it rather than the broad strokes that are often taught at that age level.
Absolutely. You know, we think about STEAM activities, so science and mathematics, and you know, those opportunities for kids after school. We got robotics, coding that's taking place, you know, which you may not have the same opportunity in your regular science class during the school day.
No,
you're laughing.
I'm laughing because there's a possibility that I might be going back to Humboldt and finishing off the degree.
Oh, good for you.
So
this education thing is rubbing off on you. I should come more often.
The transcripts were still on 5x7 cards. So they hadn't been automated. And one of the classes that I had back in Nebraska was coding, COBOL. I got a solid C. So it's like,
did they use the abacus at that
at
point?
At some points I did, yes. And I also had rocks, yeah, just in case, you know, the wind picked up. But it was interesting to consider some of the classes that were taken, and they're not even applicable anymore.
No.
Yeah, which probably means more time in a chair somewhere,
yeah,
causing a teacher problem. That's kind of what I'm perceiving my role will be.
Mm.
but how things have changed and how they've evolved, and some of those, like you were referencing, things that we taught 15 years ago, we don't have to teach anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, were you able to bring a calculator into your physics class?
No, not unless it was a special assignment.
That was the one exception we had, but in math, couldn't use a calculator.
No.
And now, I mean, they encourage, I mean, as you know, they're encouraging kids to use the technology in the classroom because that's right. The norm.
Yeah, even in tests.
Yes.
For math, with a calculator.
things change.
Yeah. A lot of it's about process. You know, can you work out? And I think there's some definite benefits and practicalities to that. In the real world, outside of class, are you going to be able to use a calculator? Yes. Well, right. Or
that's my argument for not having to take certain classes. I'll hire a specialist. Thank you. I don't need to know blank.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want me taking a physics class about structural engineering. there's no way in the world I should be close to anything like that.
Right.
You hire the guys that know how to do it. So
yeah.
That reality. You know.
Well, and it's, you know, how much brain capacity do you want to take up with these rudimentary aspects of knowledge that you could easily look up, you know? I mean.
Yes.
So there's a story about Einstein. And Einstein going down to the DMV to renew his license, Now, I don't know if this is true, but I think that the premise of it and the thought behind it holds true. And he went up to the counter and he's turning in his form. And the person behind the counter said, well, you need to list your phone number. And Einstein said, well, can you give me a phone book so I can look it up? And the person behind the counter said, you're Albert Einstein and you don't know your own phone number? And his response is,
I don't call myself.
Why would I take up valuable brain space if I can just look it up in a phone book, right? You know, be thinking about the things that matter.
Yeah.
I guess is
focus on the important.
Focus on the important stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, artificial intelligence is, oh my goodness me, what a whole realm of challenges that are coming around with that. They're already here.
Well, yeah, that whole, the actors, not that I follow that stuff, but I know the one big battle, because it is in media, is artificial intelligence, voice likeness. Yeah. Visual likeness,
mm-hmm.
What is real, what isn't. And I thought, how intriguing. As soon as I saw that news story, it was followed by an ad by Google phone.
Yeah.
There they got the picture of the guy and his wife is looking off or has a different expression than he wants. He chooses another one and covers it.
Yeah.
And it's like, now, in a very small little snippet, there it is, right there. And it's seen as perfect, everybody wants it,
mm-hmm.
following a story that nobody wants it, and we need to make very clear what is real and what isn't.
Right.
It'll bode interesting here in the classroom setting.
Absolutely. Shameless plug here, but I have a podcast, Humco Learn, and on our website, hcoe.org, my latest...
That's not Hum Colon.
No, it's okay. Not Hum Colon.
You want to go a little slower on
yes,
that one.
Yes, Hum Colon. HUMCOE. County Office of Education, Humco Learn. Yeah, I have Mauro Stion, who was an English teacher at Eureka High School. He's my guest, and we're talking about AI in the classroom, and pretty fascinating.
Is that available now?
It is, yeah.
On a cell phone near you?
On a cell phone, a Spotify, iTunes, all your local, your favorite podcasts.
You have to pay attention to you a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you know how to sit on both sides of the chair.
I do.
But do you hit your commercial breaks?
I do not hit
KINS
commercial breaks.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:50. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes. Budget is something that always enters into curriculum and schedules and whether or not summer schools are going to be offered.
Yeah.
Are there special funds available for summer school or extended? You kind of alluded to it.
Expanded learning.
Is it enough to do it like for the high school kids and kind of across the board, or is that really not a model that is being embraced these days?
Yeah, I mean, the focus right now is on elementary grades in terms of the budgeting and where the focus is. But
the two tend to be related.
Early intervention.
Yeah.
Early opportunities. But the expanded learning world in terms of funding has exploded. So pre-COVID, I believe that the, don't quote me on this, but close, that the expanded learning budget, annual budget, was in the $750 to $800 million a year range for California. Now we're upward of $3.5 billion with a B. This is for expanded learning.
Okay.
So
what happened?
COVID happened. And an understanding and a realization that students needed to have more exposure and opportunity for school learning opportunities and school socialization. You know, we also understand that one of the artifacts of the social isolation that students experience during COVID and adults is an impact to their ability to have positive relationships with one another.
Isn't it interesting that it took something like that, and I suppose it's for the sheer numbers. You know, if you're doing something and you're not around the family for a week, you start feeling a little weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For a month and a half, for 6 months, for a year.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to be. We had it all along. We just weren't recognizing what it was for what it was.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by that same concept now. What else is out there that we should be recognizing that we aren't?
Mm-hmm.
That we should be allowing for or making allowances for or embracing that we aren't? Yeah, soft skills. I mean, it seems like everybody's talking about show up on time, be nice, eye contact, firm handshake, you know, all those things that are didn't have to be taught in the past are needing to be taught now and embraced by youngers and by olders too. Why do we have to teach that stuff? Well, if we don't, how does that play out?
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be lots of those. Do you have cultural sociologists or observers in the educational system, either at the state level or regionally?
I do.
That look at this stuff and go,
I do.
We need to start putting some money over here or some time over there.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, right now, today, this morning, over at the County Office of Education, we have several districts that are attending a session on compassionate systems awareness, which is about how to have positive relationships within our schools between students and adults. Those are the things that we are understanding through research that are super important. You know, the old adage, kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's cliche, but you know what?
It's there.
It's there.
It's there. And you probably ought to be also. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
See everybody in the morning.